A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Shavuos Lamed Bei, Shavuos 32A, pagination is 63. We'll start on the facing page, about a third of the way up, Masnisen at the end of the line, the new Mishnah, and then we begin. Shavuos Oedus Ketzat. How does this oath regarding testimony work? Now, let's focus here what the case is. We're not talking about a person who said false testimony, which would be in a conventional type of example, something a person's not allowed to do. We're talking about a person who knows testimony to his friend's benefit and denies that he knows that information. So if we could picture the case, we have a litigant, somebody who's trying to pursue the truth and receive whatever compensation for a damaging situation. And he's turning to the people around him to try to obtain witnesses that would come to Beis Din and testify to the effect of his claim. And this person knows the information and makes an oath denying his knowledge. That is a situation described in the Pasuk as Ve'im lo yagid v'nasa avono. If he won't tell, he won't say the testimony, then he will bear his sin. And this situation is described over here regarding the parameters that would be the violation. Omar l'shnayim. A person says to two people, so this would be a couple, a group of witnesses that would accomplish his endeavor to right the wrong, tzedek, tzedek, tirdof, whatever the wrong is. So he says to these two people, ba'u v'he'iduni, come and say testimony on my behalf. Shavua she'enu niyodim l'cha edus, and they make an oath. We don't know any eidos, any testimony that would benefit you. Osha omru lo eino no yodim lecha eidos, or they say straight away, without an oath, we don't know any testimony to you. Mashpia ani aleichem, I adjure you, I affirm that as an oath. V'omru amen, and they say yes. Habeilu chayovim, they are guilty of this violation. The Mishnah continues and explains that there are two parts to this violation. One is the oath, and the other is in Beis Din to deny that you have testimony on his behalf. And we could actually divide those two components and end up with multiple violations. Hishbiya aleim chamesh pa'amim chutz le-Beis Din. It happened that he adjured them five times, but it was outside of Beis Din. So they made multiple oaths. Uva'u le-Beis Din, and now they come to Beis Din. Let's skip two words. Kafru, if the case is that they deny continually in accordance with their oath, and really they knew testimony. Chayovim akol achas va'achas, they're going to be in violation for each time. In contrast, hishbi aleim he'pa'amim bifnei Beis Din, if he adjured them five times in front of Beis Din, v'kafru, and they continued to deny knowledge of the testimony, they're only going to be in violation once. Rab Shimon Matam, Rab Shimon said, let me explain this to you. What is the reason? Because after the first oath, after the first denial in Beis Din, they would not be able to say testimony anymore anyway. So let's appreciate these two cases. If they're making the oath outside of Beis Din, so then the repeated oath each time is relevant, when they come into Beis Din and make the statement, we don't know testimony, well, if you don't know testimony, then forever, you cannot say testimony in our Beis Din. If, however, they came in first making the oaths in Beis Din, then that concept that you cannot say testimony in Beis Din would kick in right away on the first oath. And if it's already there on the first oath, then the future oaths are not relevant because they already can't say testimony because they've already denied knowing anything to his benefit. I use the expression, you can't say testimony in our Beis Din. Obviously, they can't say testimony in any Beis Din once they've gone on record in a Beis Din that they do not know testimony. Kofru Shneyem Ke'echad, if the two of them deny, the two witnesses deny at the same time, Shneyem Chayovim, then indeed both of them will be in violation, but if they do it one after another, Harishon Chayv HaSheni Potter. The first one is obligated, the second one is not, because once the first one is off, the second one is not eligible to achieve anything on his own to extract money. Kofar Echad Vahoda Echad, if one of them denies knowledge of testimony and the other admits that we do know testimony, HaKofar Chayiv. So the one who's denying is going to be in violation, the other one didn't do what is described over here. Hayushte kitei edim, if there were two groups of witnesses, kafra harishona v'achakach kafra hashaniya, if the first one denies and then the second one denies, shteyen chayavos, they're two both obligated, because once the first one denies, the second one is all we have left eligible to achieve this, and they're therefore making a significant impact by denying, and they're in violation. Because the testimony could be achieved with either one group. In other words, if you have two witnesses and that's it, so once the first one is off, the second one can't do anything on his own, so his denial is not significant. But if you have two sets of witnesses, so then even when you pull the first one out, because they've done their denial, because they perceive this other litigant as the strong man of town, and they're afraid to say perhaps against him, so they're out. They're in violation. The second group is still capable of extracting the money based on their testimony, and therefore, when they deny, they're also in violation. Moving on to today's daf, let's look at the Gemara, which I'm guessing about 20 lines down from the top of the page, maybe more like 16. At the end of a line, Ra'uhu Sheba. If these two witnesses see that the litigant is coming after them, Shabo Achareim, he's coming after them, and they know what the story is, he wants them to say testimony. Amru lo, they say to him, Ma Tabo Achareinu, what are you coming after us for? Shavua She'enu Niyodim Lecha Edus. I'm making an oath that we don't know any testimony for your benefit. Peturim, they're going to be patur from this law of Shavua So'edus, because the concept of Shavua So'edus is that the litigant solicits the testimony. Rashi on the second line tells us, Me'im lo yagid, from the word lo, lamed vav aleph. Normally the word lo, if it means to him, you're not going to tell to him, it's lamed vav. If you're not going to tell, it's lamed aleph. Over here, it combines the two. Lamed Vav Aleph. It's written, Male, complete, to say, Imlo Lo Yagid, if they're not going to tell to him, meaning they're being solicited as witnesses, that's the case of Shavua So'edus. And if not, if he's not soliciting, but they're initiating on their own that they don't know testimony, then that's not going to be Shavuos Ha'edos, because that's not Lo Yagid Lamid Vav Aleph, not doing it to him based on his solicitation. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.